Hello, welcome everybody. Mordechai Plotzker here. Welcome to SheerEnjoyment.com. Tonight's Sheer is dedicated to Yol Nishmas Adina Perlman's brother, Yaakov Yisrael. This is Shem Shehav and Leah. His the Shloshim actually is tomorrow night. So for everybody still learning Mishnayos, please have that in mind. Tonight's Sheer is on Parshas Balak. There are a few questions to try to cover. I'll just try to give them to you, and I'll try to cover them within 10 minutes' time. Number one, why was Balak so distressed by the presence of the Jewish people? Number two, why did Balak offer seven mizbachos, seven altars, on which he slaughtered a par and an ayo? What is the significance of seven? What is the significance of 14? And what is the significance of 3 times 14 equaling 42? So 7, 14, 42, what does that mean? Number three, why do we say Matovu every morning? And why do we say Ati La'alfe Ravava, the Yerazorehe Sar Sonav at weddings, both of which were uttered by Bilam? We say Bilam's a Lavan, Lavan's a Bilam. And number four, the fourth question is, why did the donkey say Lama Yikisi Shalosh Rigalim and not Amim? Okay, so if we recap, let's try to cover the first question first. And again, I'm going to be speaking to Derech Kotzer because of the limitation of time. So our question was, why was Balak so distressed by the presence of the Jewish people? So the answer that is offered first by the Kedushas Levi is that the Jewish people were very attractive to the people of Moab, and that when they were nearby, the people of the neighboring communities and towns would convert to Judaism. So that's number one. So number two is that Balak understood that in the future he's carrying the Zera of Mashiach, which is very uncomfortable for him, which is why he said, Lacha na'ar ali, you should go ahead and curse me, Bilam. If you know when to curse, then curse me, even if it meant his own demise, his own destruction, and that of his whole community and the people of Moab. He wasn't so concerned about that because it would prevent David HaMelech from coming into the world. And we all know that the descendant of Balak was Eglon, and Eglon was the father or the ancestor to Ruth. It's actually Gemara in Nazir, Daf Chav Gimel on the days that between Amachlokas and Rashi and Tosus discussing the relationship between Ruth and Eglon. And number three was that he understood that our tefillah is very powerful. So the fact that we're so close by, that means that they may have their chariots and their war machine, but we, what do we have? We don't have any of those things. The most powerful thing that we have is our peh. Ein kochem b'Yisrael ela b'peh. So that tries to give three explanations. So why was it that this was so uncomfortable to Balak? Because again, he realized that the closer he gets to the Jewish people, the greater likelihood that things will be set in motion by which the Mashiach ben David will come into formation. So that's the answer to number three. Number two, why did Balak offer a cow and a ram on seven bamos, seven altars? So if we take a look at one answer is that Balak tried to counter all of the sacrifices that were offered by Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov in Sefer Bereishis. If you count up how many times they offered karbanos, you will see that there were seven in total. Yitzhak offered one, Yaakov offered two, and Avram offered four. And so that would counter. So seven mizbachos was to counter the seven sacrifices that the Shalashtan, that the three Abos had provided to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The second, and going a little deeper, is that he wasn't sure, perhaps, if it was a par or an ayil. So in order to cover his bases, Balak decided to offer both. Again, he's trying, he knows the combination. This is not a simple anti-Semite, and he was a great one, and an ancestor to all of us. He knew the combinations of the Jewish people. And so 14 is what he came up with. What's significant about 14? 14 is the gematria of David. So if he tries to counter Dalet Vav Dalet is 14. By him offering these karbanos, he tries to counter the ability for David to come into the world. Which in itself is quite interesting, because if you think about it, since the origin of time, man has always used sacrifices or karbanos in order to draw closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the word karban has the word in it, karav, nun, to draw closer, nun, to the 50 levels of bina, of understanding. And so HaKadosh Baruch Hu is looking at this, as Rav Shimon Schwab says, and thinks, and says, wait a minute, you're offering these karbanos with so much emotion, and it's lavas, you think they're just going to go empty? I'm going to do something positive. And sure enough, Mashiach will come into the world. So you can't take something that's historically been positive and then try to unwind it so that it becomes negative. That was not going to work. So that's the reason why Balak offered a cow and a ram on these seven bamos. And, the psukim say, banali bazeh, shiva mizbachos. V'hachim li bazeh, shiva mizbachos. V'hachim li bazeh, again, shiva mizbachos. So the word bazeh, says the Kedusha Slavi, refers to that Bilam was trying to prophesize on the level of bazeh, meaning aslaklaria meira, very clear vision, that which Moshe Rabbeinu was able to transmit Torah. However, it was degraded one notch to the level of Ko, which is the level of the Shar Nevi'im outside of Moshe. So that's point number three or four on this question. Another idea that we can say about the 42 is that we know that there were 42 children that came and mocked Elisha when he left Eliyahu Navi and Malachim Beis, and they taunted him by saying, Alei Kireach, you're a fat, bald old man. It's not a nice thing to say to anybody, especially a Navi Yisrael. And while Elisha was willing to compromise and say it's okay, since he was the Navi of Hashem, Melech is not Mochel al Kvodo, not in physical, and certainly not HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore, they met an untimely end when two bears emerged in the forest. We could also say that the 42 refers to the Masos, that the Membe's Masos, every time they traveled, there was another level of Kedusha that they unraveled. So it's true on one hand that these 42 Mizbachos were not for the right intent, but they ended up becoming for the right intent because they were used in the power by which the Netzotzos, HaKadosha, these sparks of energy, slowly unraveled. Now we turn to the third question, is why do we say Matovu, Olach Yaakov, Mishkan Secha Yisrael? So we understand that when Moshe Rabbeinu designed the real estate in the Midbar, not one Pesach opened up into another. Not one doorway opened up into another doorway. And why is that significant, and why is that meaningful? Because when you cannot see into your neighbor's property, you're not able to be jealous. And if you're not jealous, most likely you're not going to be filled with hate. Why does this person have this and that, and I don't have this and that, and the other thing too? And if someone is hateful, it could lead to murder. So Ramban brings down that if you look at the last of the Aseret Dibros, which is Lo Sachmod, and you focus on Lo Sachmod, then you'll be able to appreciate Lo Signo, Lo Tirzach, don't steal, don't murder. Why? Because it's all rooted in jealousy. A person steals because he's jealous, murders because he has a higher level of jealousy, and it's not healthy. So if the Jewish people are not able to look into one another's doorways, then they're not able to be jealous, they're not able to be hateful, they're not able to commit murder. And so therefore, when Balak is telling Bilam to curse the Jewish people, Kaviyachol, Bilam is returning to him and saying, what do you want me to say? If the people themselves don't speak poorly about one another, how in the world am I supposed to speak poorly about them? And so, B'derash Adin Mode Modin Lo, the way we judge others, the way we treat others, is the way that we are treated. And since at that time we were treating each other very respectfully, Halavai, it should always be that way, then Bilam his efforts were really futile. They were ineffective, and they weren't able to curse the Jewish people. So that is the Shemira, the Havtacha. So why do we say Matovu every morning? We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you please don't look so closely into my ma'asim. I don't look so closely into Yenim's ma'asim. I don't look so closely into my neighbor's ma'asim. And if you do look into my behavior, you might find something human. There are things I shouldn't be doing that I am doing, that I should be doing that I'm not doing, and that's all part of the human experience, human nature. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because I am not looking so closely into someone else's behaviors, don't look so closely into mine. And now that we cleared the slate, I'm able to now dive in with a clear heart of Baruch Aleinu, bless this year, bless all of the efforts that I do with success, and Rafa'inu, those that need a Rafu Shlema should have one speedily in our day, in our time, etc. And the last question that we had is, why does donkey say, Lama hikisi shalosh rigolim and not ta'amim? Ta'amim means times. Why did they use the term rigolim? The answer is that Bilam tried to replace the Jewish people with being olerego. But say, Chazal, how could you even suggest such a thing? Why would Bilam think that he would have the ability to do this? We know the halacha says that Bilam himself was a summa achas me'enav. He was blind in one eye. And then he became a chiga. He was handicapped because the donkey slammed his leg against the side of the mountain. And that disabled him. He wasn't able to walk. So we know that that somebody who has these characteristics is exempt from being olerego. So there was no way that Bilam was going to be olerego in place of the Jewish people. You think that you're going to replace the Jewish people? Think again. Let's think about for a second what we say at the regel. We say, Yivarechacha Hashem v'yishmeracha. We have three words. Yar Hashem panav elecha v'yichunecha. That's five more. Yisa Hashem panav elecha v'yachsenecha shalom. That's seven. And that totals 15 words. If you count the letters in this particular bracha of Yivarechacha Hashem, you'll end up with 60 letters. When Bilam turned Bilam toward eastward, and he directed his attention toward the place in which the Jewish people sacrificed, and they did the Egel Azav and all this, all of that whole narrative, right? So what do we see over there? That it says in the pasuk, "Vayhi ki boshesh Moshe." Moshe was delayed in coming down from the mountain. So Chazal say, don't read it boshesh, that he was delayed. Rather, read it boshesh, that he was delayed by 6 hours. Oh, now all the Jewish people became very careful with time, right? So how do we understand all this? So let's go through this and understand what exactly is happening with this bracha. The three sentences refer to the Shalosh Regalim, the three festivals, which are Pesach, Sukkot, and Shavuot. On Pesach, Sukkot, and Shavuot, living in Eretz Yisrael, we know that you observe 15 days for those Moadim. Where are the 15 days? Seven for Pesach, seven for Sukkot, and one for Shavuot. That's 15 days. During the course of 15 days, how many hours are involved of Shemirah? 24 hours. 24 times 15 is equal to 360. So we all know that there's a concept also in the Torah of Batel B'Shishim. We have 60 letters. So how do we use the 60 letters to be Batel B'Shishim? We take the six hours that Moshe was delayed, and we multiply it by the 60, and we end up with 360, and that's Batel B'Shishim. So it's true, we're not exonerating ourselves. We're not telling ourselves that we never did this. We're owning up to the fact that we did commit a grievous sin with regard to the Chet HaEgel. However, it is Batel B'Shishim. We'll nullify it. How do we nullify it? By the Shemira that we do on the regel itself. And the regel itself, obviously, is comprised of those 24 hours times 15 days, which is 360. And that's how we get the Batel B'Shishim. They take the Bashesh and the Pasuk of the delay of 6 hours, multiplied by 60, which are the 60 letters in the Bracha of Yerecha Hashem V'Yishmeracha, Yar Hashem Panav Elecha V'Yichunecha, Yisa Hashem Panav Elecha V'Yachsenecha Shalom, and you end up with 360. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be... We should be zochazan, that we should be able to observe all of the Mo'adim, the regalim, in their proper time, and with simcha, and eslavos, and I hope that you enjoyed tonight's shiur. Again, we covered four questions. Why was Balak so distressed by the presence of the Jewish people? We provided three explanations. Why did Balak offer a cow and a ram on seven altars? We provided five explanations. And number three, why did we say Matovu? We gave one. And why did the donkey say Shalosh Regalim and Apamim? And we went into a little bit of math and gematria. So I wish everyone atzlacha and bracha this coming week. And neshama of Adina Perlman's brother should have an aliyah. And we shall know the source of the Tanakh going forward.